Great music, engaging talk, and good memories for our generation. You are listening to Lifestyles 55 Digital Radio.
How many kinds of sweet flowers grow in an English country garden?
You're listening to Lifestyles 55 Digital Radio. It's time for The Gardener with Dorothy Dobie.
Good morning, gardeners, and it's another beautiful day in Manitoba. No sun, but it's still not windy, and that's very important because the wind has been just cutting through us like a knife, even though the weather isn't that cold. Anyway, we're just starting into the cool season, as we might say here in Manitoba, because we're hardy and we can take a little bit of frost. And I have a very special couple of guests today, Shauna Dobie, who is the editor of Canada's Local Gardener, and Ian Leet, who is the president of Pegasus Publications. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Okay, well, Ian
Leet. I should say good evening.
He lives in a different world. I see you have another guest on the show with you, Ian. It's got a lot of fur on it.
Yes, that's my cat.
Your cat.
No, my cat.
What's your cat's name?
It's Mike Hat.
Okay, well.
Oh, Mike.
Mike Hat. Never mind. That was a joke, Dorothy. Where have you gone with this world? Yes, my little cat called Jambo. In Swahili, oddly enough, Jambo means hello.
There you are. Hello, Jambo. And Shauna, you're all alone this morning. Your little dog named Penny isn't on your shoulders or up by your, or is she right beside you? Because she usually is.
No, she's not. She's sleeping on the floor.
So it's really good to have the two of you on the radio show this morning. You know, we don't have enough, even though we work together every single day, we don't always have time to do this. And you're both really good gardeners. So I thought this would be an opportunity to let people know that it's a real family affair. And we, you know, we've been doing this, a version of this publication since, what, 1998? How many years does that make it, Ian? You're the math guy.
Well, 23 in my method.
There you go.
We're 28 by mine, but I don't know.
It's going to be 24 in a couple of weeks.
That's right. Then that means we'll be in our 25th year, which is really quite important. When you think about how companies just don't seem to make it past that period of time, not very many.
Especially publishing companies.
Yeah.
It's about managing the funds.
When we started, there was a Canadian gardening magazine besides, and that's why we did local garden publications. Canada, what was it called, Shauna?
There was Canadian Gardening. There was Garden Life. There was Gardens West.
And there was Prairies.
There were a bunch.
Garden for the Prairies.
That's right. There was one in Quebec as well. I can't think of
Plante Jardin.
Yeah, Fleur et Jardin, I think.
Harrowsmith?
Harrowsmith is still going. It's not really a garden magazine, though.
No. But now there is basically us. I think that there's an attempt by the people from what used to be the Prairie Garden to have a national magazine, but it doesn't seem to have gone very far. And then there was an Ontario garden publication that it seems to have disappeared too.
Garden making. They only do it online. They stopped printing it. I believe they sold their subscribers to Gardener for the Prairies or The Gardener.
There you are. So here we are back in the field, and we expanded to be a national publication because we wanted to fill that niche that people were asking for. I mean, people were looking for a long, long time for coverage of the Maritime provinces, and we weren't giving it to them. They're really happy about that. Shauna, you put together an absolutely stellar editorial board, and you have quite a bit of representation from the East.
A lot of credit goes to the editorial board. We meet a few times a year, and they're keeping us abreast of what's going on in the Maritimes and out west of where you are, as a matter of fact.
Right.
Yeah, they're great, and they're so diverse.
So tell us about a couple of them. Maybe Ian, you could pipe in with a couple too. Who comes to mind for you right away, Shauna?
Well, there's Greg Otten, who vegetables. He doesn't do flowers. He does vegetables only, and he's in Nova Scotia. Mario Doiron is in New Brunswick, and he's kind of a homesteader. And he's doing all kinds of things. He's really involved in the community and teaching them how to vegetable garden. And then in Newfoundland, we have Todd Boland, and he is the
university
horticulturist for the Memorial University Botanical Garden.
Right.
Oh my goodness, he grows so much. And then there's on his Facebook, and every couple of days there's some new plant I've never even heard of that he's growing.
That's fantastic. And Ian, there's another one that you know very well from Prince Edward Island.
Larry Hodgson?
No, he's from Montreal. From Prince
Edward Island. I know where he's from. I was trying to throw you. Larry, though, I got to say, Larry, whenever we put a magazine out, I was looking at the analytics. Larry, our numbers jump because Larry posts it onto his site or onto his newsletter. And we get a spike of, a couple of thousand every time he does it.
Yeah.
But John Barrett is who you were referring to at Vessi Seeds. John's great. John's a big supporter of the Year of the Garden 2022, which I'm sure we'll talk about shortly. But yeah, we've done a lot of work with John in the last 20 years.
And John actually used to live in Winnipeg because that's where I first met him with the symphony back in the early 80s. Isn't it funny? This is a small country at the end of the day. So going west, now we talked about Larry Hodgson in Montreal. Who do we have in Ontario, Shauna?
In Ontario, we've got a couple. There's
Eldona
Satterthwaite, and she was the editor at Canadian Gardening.
Right.
And then she was the executive director of the Toronto Botanical Garden. And now she's retired, but she brings so much information to every meeting. And she just waits till everybody's done talking, and then she gives me about three sentences. And they're all bang on.
Yeah.
And we also have Ben Cullen, who is Mark Cullen's son, if you hadn't heard. And he's such an integral part of the business, the industry. It's amazing.
It's kind of interesting because there's Ben and Mark and there's Mummy and Shauna.
Yeah, I noticed.
Family business, that's right.
Hang about. There's Ian and Jambo.
And there's Ian and Jambo, of course. Ian,
yeah.
Folks, if you
and
don't
Jambo know, looks up. Notice he looked up when you said his name.
Of course. If you don't know that, I said Ian's the president of our company, but he's kind of like the adopted brother and son of the Dobie family. So we're always very glad to have him, even when he gets to be a smart little guy, smart big guy.
Smart little guy.
Smart little guy. I cut my hair just for this meeting.
Oh, you sound beautiful just because you cut your hair.
Yes, absolutely.
So we've got the Cullen, well, Ben at any rate, but Mark, I think, is involved. And then coming west, we have me and Ian in Manitoba, but we have somebody else.
Jan.
Jan Peterson.
Yeah.
And people will remember Jan Peterson from Shelmardine Garden Center, which he was the part owner of for many, many years. And then he went to work for a company in
Bylands.
Bylands Nursery, which is a big supplier of trees and perennials across Canada in Kelowna.
And the U.S. He was doing northern U.S. states.
Yes, he was, yes. And then, Shauna, who's in Saskatchewan? Do we have anybody in Saskatchewan?
He had to drop out because of his mother's in ill health. Going out to Vancouver, though, we have Stephanie Rose. And she has a website called Garden Therapy. And we went and visited her this summer, Mom. She is just I don't even know how to describe her. She's
bubbly.
She knows about so many things.
Well, she's really interesting because she had started life in business. I think, was she a salesperson of some sort?
She was in marketing.
Right, in marketing. And then she began, she had a health issue, so she started working from home. And began to explore her garden talents and develop this absolutely wonderful brand for herself on the internet. Mm-hmm. And she's a fascinating person, single mother, does a lot of really interesting things. She has a studio in her garden potting shed, or what was probably supposed to be the garden potting shed, where she films her podcasts, her visual podcasts. Is that what you call those? No?
I think you call
video
them vlogs.
Yeah. So in Alberta, we're working on Gloria Beck, who is with the Deer Lodge. She's with Deer Lodge. She has a garden center there. She's a wonderful person who's been the president of the International Horticultural Association.
She's been the president of everything.
Yeah. So it's a wonderful network of gardeners across the country. But Ian, you mentioned a few minutes ago the gardens, a garden... The Year of the Garden in Canada, 2022.
Can I just ask, would you like to have a glass of water or something? Because you seem to be stumbling over your words. I know that's a little bit sarcastic of me, but yes, the Year of the Garden 2022, which you've been a part of, probably as part of the founders, to get it put together, to really, you know, an integral role, lobbying politicians, et cetera, across the country to make it so. And you've been doing that for a number of years.
Well, it was started by Michelle Gauthier, who is
also on our editorial board.
Who's also on our editorial board, that's right, from Ottawa. And he's an interesting fellow, too, because he spent 16 years as the executive director of the Tulip Festival, Canada's Tulip Festival, as demonstrated in Ottawa. And he has a house in Ottawa, which he calls the Tulip House. And honestly, it is a museum dedicated to tulips. And he even has a big tulip painted on the front and to call the Tulip House. Fascinating fellow who's really into gardening. He also started the International Peace Gardens on a really, truly international scale, not like the International Peace Garden between Manitoba and North Dakota, although we are becoming a member of the foundation that he created. But they have members in 16 countries, I believe, International Peace Gardens. So fascinating guy, and as you say, on our board. But Ian, tell us a little bit more about the Year of the Garden, because we have a role to play in that.
What would you like me to tell you?
Well, what are we doing with Year of the Garden? We have as a magazine.
Where do I start? There's way too much to say in like a blink of an eye. But I think that in some ways COVID has helped gardening, because there was sort of a declining thought to it. People were going on traveling vacations, yada, yada, yada. Suddenly COVID comes along. There's been an increase in interest, not only from, you know, the solid gardeners of old, but some 3 million new gardeners alone in Canada, which is a 27-28% increase in gardening. So to start, the seed companies are all struggling because they can't keep up with the demand, because people are not only growing flowers, but they also want to grow their own food. And, if, you know, what's going on in BC right now is not going to make it any easier, having been in the supermarkets at this weekend and noticed empty shelves, including Costco. So that was a bit of a shocker. But as far as the Year of the Garden is concerned, you know, the website will be up, I believe, in the next couple of weeks. I was just chatting with my Michelle a little bit earlier. There is events happening in every province across the country, starting in January. Like it's nonstop, go, 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 go. And we're an integral role for sure, because we're the English-speaking magazine representing Canada for the Year of the Garden. So a lot of big sponsors involved, a lot of big companies involved, but that doesn't mean to say small garden centers can't get involved. I'm looking for everybody. If you're involved in gardening, give us a call.
So here we're representing two cities, Sean and I. Sean is in Toronto, I'm in Winnipeg. Toronto was the first city to declare it the Year of the Garden for Toronto. And Winnipeg just recently did the same thing through Consulate Janice Lukes. So we are all dedicated to the Year of the Garden and are very right up to our necks in it. But it's such a good thing to do after what we've been through. And, you know, Shauna, what are you thinking about this Year of the Garden? I mean, do you feel that that's a really important way to end the pandemic?
Yeah.
Good answer. And you tell me the one word answers. Yeah.
Everybody has been locked indoors or in their own yards and gardening, and here's a chance to show the world what we've been doing.
And also, it's a celebration of the Canadian Nursery Landscape Association 100th anniversary, their centenary. And, you know, that's still, so you think, well, so what? They're having a big birthday. But really, gardening and horticulture in Canada is an extremely important part of the fabric of life today around the world, because so many new plants, hardy plants, winter hardy plants were developed in that first 100 years of the association's life. And we feel very strongly here in Manitoba about that, because we've produced quite a number of them, but certainly in Ontario as well, with the, you know, the work that was done in Ottawa for many, many years. And Ian, I've been to your part of the, where you originated from in Jersey, and I've seen plants that were actually, you know, developed here in Manitoba growing in your gardens, like certain Joe Pye weeds, for example. So when you think about that, and you think about things like Amur maple and Dropmore, you know, scarlet honeysuckle, and I can just go on and on and on, a lot of the hybrid lilies, they were developed here in Canada, and now they're available for growth in China, in Russia, in other cold parts of the world. And that's kind of exciting. So it's worthwhile celebrating, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. The other thing that's going on is a lot of vegetable gardening, which hadn't been happening for a long time. I mean, a lot of people had vegetable gardens back in the corner behind the garden shed.
Yeah.
And now people are doing it in their front yards. And it's the younger generation, I think, younger than me. I say that as if it's a big accomplishment. But, you know, in their 30s and 40s, who are really getting into it. They're into seed in a way that I never was. It's astonishing to me, but so many people are growing vegetables now. Even people in apartments are growing them on their balconies or in their windowsills.
Yes, yeah. Well, and that's really where Ian comes in, because he's a big vegetable gardener. And Ian, you love to garden, you know, using vegetables. And well, you mentioned two things. Shauna mentioned a lot of people are gardening in their front yard, which you do. You're growing vegetables in your front yard.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
You want to know the truth? Or
I want to know the truth.
The truth is that a couple of years ago, my partner and I, Shelley and I, we built a load of raised beds in the back garden. But the trees grew a little bit too big and there was hardly any sun. And the only thing that really thrived in the back in these boxes was herbs. Herbs did great. Fantastic, actually. So I said to Shelley, we've got this space in the front. Why don't we do, you know, a vegetable garden there? And it's not very big. It's 20 feet, maybe 25 feet by 3 feet, but it's enough to grow, you know, enough for us in the house. So she said, okay. So I did that. But then I noticed people walking across the front yard and I was a little bit scared that they may steal the vegetables as and when they grew. So I built a 6-foot fence. Don't worry, listeners. Plenty of sunlight for the garden. So this year we did tomatoes. We did 6 tomato plants, but got about 60 kilos of tomatoes from that.
Wow.
We did 6 cabbages. Unfortunately, the cabbage worm decided to have a go at that. And next year I'm going to do something different, maybe do like a clear plastic sheeting over it. We did 3 pepper plants. I bought 3 pepper plants. No, 6 pepper plants. And I thought they were sweet peppers. Turns out they were Carolina Reapers, and one tasted them and blew your head off.
Well, they were so hot.
But we know that they grow. We know that the peppers will grow. Then we did corn. Unfortunately, I put the corn in a little bit late because I had to build the fence, yada, yada, yada. We started to get the cobs or the ears, but then it suddenly got wet, and that was that. So next year, lesson learned, plant corn a little bit earlier. Leeks were great. Cucumbers, did 4 cucumber plants, got about 60 cucumbers. And it's true, the more you pick, the more you get. Like I was picking them pretty much every day. And
they were just that way.
That was just crazy. But next year, Shirley wants to grow melons.
Oh.
So I did a trellis on the side of the house for the cucumber, which we're going to do. And then I will build another one for the melons.
What kind of melons?
Probably cantaloupe.
Mm-hmm.
But all Shirley said was, how do we read the water meter? That was her concern. How do we read the water meter? I'm like, we're going to grow the melon and we'll figure it out as we go along. It's only a couple of times.
So when do you have to start the melons? Pretty early in this climate, I think.
Well, you've got to start them inside. Start them inside, and providing it's not too cold in in May. I think, you know, you look at about 10 degrees at night and then they can go out. And the same with a cucumber, but you've got to water. Like these things need water, a lot of water. So what did I do? When I built the fence, I opened up the back side of the house to another gate, and I have a rain barrel just the other side of the gate. So now it's easy for me to, when we get rain, though it was pretty much dry all season, but when we get rain, I can just barrel the water down and hey-ho.
Hey-ho, hey, and off we go.
Good. Exactly.
Shauna, did you grow any vegetables this year, Shauna?
I did, for the first time ever. I started indoors with tomato plants, and then my husband found a store that was giving away what they had left, and he stuffed the garden with them. We also grew a few other things. We, you know, having a small veggie pod, I put in too much, really. But I put in cilantro, which I could not eat. It was too cilantro-y.
Oh, too strong lemon. Oh.
Yeah, they will be sometimes when you, depending on the conditions in the soil.
Yeah, and what's it called? Rocket.
Like a lettuce.
A common name for that here?
I hate that stuff.
Like a lettuce?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just too strong. We gave it all away. And then lettuces, which I was gone by then. So they just all bolted or something.
Well, you can cut them. You can keep cutting them and they just keep growing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wasn't here to do it. That's one of the problems is I'm gone through June and July traveling to get pictures for all the gardens. And that's kind of a crucial time to be around. In the back, we grew radishes. Okay, so I've recommended to people and read that you should grow radishes amongst your carrots because the carrots take a long time to emerge and then you know where they are. Well, I planted them too thickly. We did get radishes, too spicy, could not eat them. Even my husband couldn't eat them. Picked them
off. What sort of radishes were they?
I don't know. I didn't pre-order seeds. I got them from the grocery store.
But what is in your soil to make everything so strong?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, on that note, we'll take a little break and we'll break for a song, which I know one of you will have one for me. Oh. And then when we come back, we are going to talk a little bit about what's coming up next year.
Okay.
What's the song?
Build Me Up, Buttercup.
Build Me Up, Buttercup. Good one. I was thinking about playing that one last week, so you must be reading my mind, Shauna.
I guess that's it.
Oh. Build Me Up, Buttercup. Here we go.
Sure.
And we're back, and we've got Shauna, Dovey, and Ian Leek on the air with us this morning. We're talking about what happened in our gardens this year, and they're both really good vegetable gardeners, way better than me, because when you hear about my garden, you're going to be very upset. But Shauna, you had a lot of tomatoes as well, right?
We grew a lot of tomatoes, and it's not a super sunny backyard. It is north facing, but the sun gets up over the house in the summertime, and I couldn't believe the number of tomatoes we had. Wow. Every time you went out there, you had to pick a few. They were just little cherry tomatoes.
Oh, the cherry tomatoes, yeah, they're great. What did you grow, Ian? You grew big ones, didn't you?
Well, in the front, I grew kind of a regular tomato. You had some. They remind me of a sunrise tomato from the UK. So it's a nice little salad tomato, mm-hmm. not overly powerful, but really good, easy to cut, not too big
yeah.
for salads.
Yeah.
But in the back, oh, my God, oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know where to start with the back. Like, we had, as far as the herbs are concerned, we had cilantro, we had three types of mint, two types of basil, parsley, thyme, oregano.
But you had something very interesting in your veggie pod that was absolutely delicious.
Celery,
yes.
You asked me that earlier, and I told you. Oh, that's right, we weren't recording. Celery was huge. I learned a lesson. I did not know how big celery grows when it grows. So I planted 10 or 12, and they need a space of about 2 square feet per plant.
Ooh.
I mean, it literally spreads right out. So you can imagine this row of celeries growing, and I put green onion by it, and I didn't see the green onion because it was, you know, covered in celery. As I harvested the celery, the green onion started to appear. So come late September, I was having green onion from the garden. But lesson learned, don't grow celery there next year because it's too big. Or if you do, only grow 6 plants as opposed to a dozen.
So you grew the carrots in your veggie pod, right?
Yeah.
And that kept it warm and protected. Do you think you could grow it outside without any trouble?
Yeah, no problem. You have to hit it. The thing with celery, you have to hit it like potatoes because it just pushes out. Like, I mean, these are, you know, just go. So the more you hit it, the more compact it becomes. But the carrots were great. And there's actually still some in it under snow now, but the carrots were great. Radishes.
That's another thing I grew was carrots. After we got rid of all the radishes, a few were still there. I got big tops, teeny tiny little carrots.
You got to just let them grow. They take a long time.
I did not pick them until the fall.
Yeah, 90 to 120 days and you can start eating them. And, you know, the first ones I picked were like, I don't know, 3 or 4 inches. But then you get the big fat mamas and wait.
They had some girth to them, Ian. Because I did the veggie pod too, and granted, we did put it in late. But my carrots were like little worms.
Mine were substantial giant thumbs.
They're like, they weren't even as big as your finger. They were like intense lead.
And the other thing about carrots is they like water and a lot of it. Like all vegetables like water. I mean, you know, 80%, they're like us. 70% water is the makeup of any vegetable. So the more water you give them, the better the crop. And depending on the fertilizer, I used 2 fertilizers last year. I used the seaweed and I used Actisol, which is chicken poop. And both of them worked really well. And the vegetables weren't overly strong apart from the Carolina Reapers.
Do you think it had something to do with the soil? Because the soil I got was from TNT and it may have been a defective because I know they had some bad soil.
Oh, it could have been.
And Shauna, what about yours? Do you think it was maybe, you know, what did you put it? What did you use for soil?
Oh, no, I used all new vegetable soil that I bought from Sheridan Nurseries. It was all good.
Because soil veggie pod. Difference. Maybe yours weren't watered enough. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
No, in the veggie pod, it was all good. Things grew. They just weren't too strong.
Again next year, I'll get an early start. Ian, do you think the veggie pod lets us start a little bit earlier?
Again, it depends on the weather. You know as well as I, we can get snow here. If we've got snow, you can't do anything. But I will aim to have it completely planted by probably the middle of May, middle to early May, because it does keep the heat in, right? I mean, it acts as an insulator, that lid. And, you know, our lid is in the shed. another story. But yeah, and the soil both in the vegetable patch and in the veggie pod was all new soil from the previous year. So it had like 6 months just to lie there and, you know, do its soily thing. Mm-hmm. There were no weeds in it. So, you know, we're talking with Shauna saying it was all new soil, and you're saying your soil could have been a bad batch. Mine settled and rested for 6 months before it actually did anything.
One of the things that Kevin Toomey and I always discuss is inoculating this soil that you get in bags with real garden soil so that you can, you know, so that you can start some natural biotics back in the soil, because the other stuff is pretty sterile. And I guess people do grow in it, but he believes, and he's certainly the expert, that putting real soil in with your artificial soil is a very good way to go.
But I did, you know, before planting on any of it, I did wet it. Then I soaked it with, I wet it, mm-hmm. stirred it up so that the soil was damp. Then I poured a load of liquid fertilizer through it. Then I wet it again so the soil wasn't dry, even deep down. Mm-hmm. Then I planted. And I did the same with yours.
Yeah.
Because putting it dry, there's nothing for a seed or anything to do apart from, you know, fall over.
So this really, when you think about, you mentioned earlier that there were a lot of new gardeners and that this is something that, you know, has become a phenomenon in Canada. And I think it's going to continue with the Year of the Garden and others. And we've heard from the garden centers and the seed companies that their business is up by 4 times over what it used to be. So I think everybody who gardens is going to have these novice experiences. I mean, I'm not a big vegetable grower. I usually do some cucumbers and tomatoes and that's it. So all of this is new, but when, you know, it's really about trial and error, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
And learning as you go. Now, this morning I received the notes from the All-American Selections, and there's some brand new stuff on the horizon for us. There was one that really, I've been talking about begonias for the last few years and the new waxy type begonias that are so incredible that will take a lot of sun, tolerate a lot of sun. And they've got one out this year that they seem to be very excited about. It's called Begonia Viking Explorer Rose on Green. Shauna, I sent you a copy. What did you think of it?
It sounds great if you like begonias.
Oh, I like begonias. So that was it. But it's a trailing begonia. It's a little bit like the dragon wings.
Right. That's one of the interesting things, is that it's trailing.
Yeah. And it's little flowers like the dragon wing begonias. But they've been such wonderful performers. I put them in the shade, they're happy. You put them in the sun, they're happy. They don't care if they get much water, they're happy. So if you're a balcony gardener, for example, that's a great choice for you. Ian, did you grow any begonias last year?
Yeah.
Which one did you like best?
I just thought I'd throw in a one-word thing there. I did the dragon. That goes in the shade under the tree.
Yeah.
Then I did the regular standard, you know, the green ones, the little ones that you would use as an annual filler type thing in the beds. Well, there's some that sit underneath a couple of lilac trees that we have going into the back garden. They were blooming in October, so they were doing great. They were also in you know, the old vegetable boxes that don't get a lot of sun, so they were doing great underneath by the shed. But the trailing ones, they did okay, you know, no different to. I had some issues with Calibrachoa. I didn't think they were as good this year as they were last year. Last year they seemed to be bushy and flowering through till October. This year they tended to dry out.
I think because it was so hot. And Sean and I were away in June and July, and my petunias and one Calibrachoa that I put in after I came back was great right through till it froze. But the others were very sad. They got a fungal disease. And Kevin tells me that's because they weren't watered properly while I was away. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Shauna, did you grow any petunias? Did you notice a difference?
No, I didn't grow any annuals last year. With the All-America selections, one of the things that I am excited about, and they don't have very many flowers on it, is the new sunflower. What's it called?
Right. I was thinking about that. This is Shelley's favorite flower, right, Ian?
Yeah.
And Shelley is Ian's partner, and she's from China. And she loves sunflowers, big, shiny, bright, happy sunflowers.
Yeah, and this one is called Concert Bell. And the neat thing about it is that it's a tall sunflower, well, not super tall, it's five to six feet tall. And it does grow multiple flowers on each stem.
Heads.
So that's yeah, kind of exciting for me.
You cut one and you've got a whole bouquet.
Yeah.
You know, the last couple of years, the people in my neighborhood, one on both sides of me, one the year before and then last year, grew these 12-foot tall sunflowers. Have you seen mm-hmm. those? With heads that are like a foot across. Have you grown those?
Me? No. They would they would not survive here because the raccoons would climb them and break them off.
Oh. How about you, Ian? Have you seen those great big tall ones? Like they were as tall as the house next door.
I've seen them, but I've never grown them. I'm not a huge sunflower seed eater.
Well, birds like them.
Well, I got enough bird feeders. There's like 10 bird feeders in the yard.
You don't need to grow them for seeds. You can just grow them.
Where? I tend to use all of my, you know, my bedding plants are all full of perennials. We have about 10 trees in the yard, and the rest of the soil is for vegetables. Sorry, aside from a little bit of fruit.
Oh, well, we do a lot of shopping in the springtime. Folks, we go out, Ian and Shelley and I, and try to do all the garden centers around Winnipeg. How many did we do that the year before last? We must have done like 10.
No, we did about 30.
That many?
Yeah.
But it's really exciting because as you go out, and do you do this in Toronto, Shauna? Do you go to the local garden centers around the city? Because there aren't that many in the city.
There really aren't anymore. The old best ones are all closed down because the owners, they retired. So it's kind of sad around Toronto. In the Ottawa area, I know they've got some fantastic garden centers. London area, not here.
Well,
then that means you just got to move.
Yeah. Well, I will.
She's thinking of moving to Winnipeg, folks, and we're so excited about that. So the other thing on the AAS winners were some tomatoes. Did you look at those, Ian?
No.
Okay, so there's one called Pink Delicious, which looks really interesting. It's the kind of, what do you call it when the shoulders are all sort of like wrinkled, not wrinkled, but furrowed?
Muscular. It looks muscular to me.
Okay.
And I don't think it's technically known as muscular, but.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting way to put it, though. But, you know, and then the other one is Purple Zebra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which all right, I'm going to get back to that tomato Pink Delicious. It looks like it's on steroids.
Yeah, it does. because I think, you know, people are really into the tomatoes. They love to try out the new varieties. And the heirloom potatoes or tomatoes are particularly of interest to most people. But folks, if you're new at gardening, do what Shauna did. Grow those little ones, or like Ian did, mm-hmm. because the little cherry tomatoes are very easy to grow. They don't have a lot of problems. If you don't water them, they don't, you know, turn up with black spot.
Could mention too is there were just too many to eat. I just started a Ziploc baggie in the freezer after a while and started throwing them in there. And now I've got a bunch. I'm going to make tomato soup one day.
You know, Shelley said to me when she was away, because she was away because of mum, she said, if you can't keep up with them, freeze them. We can use them afterwards. I said, oh, okay. So now I've got these, like, you know, big bags of tomatoes, unchopped, in the freezer, washed and just bunged in the freezer. And the other week, she said to me, oh, we should get some tomatoes out of the freezer for salad. I'm like, okay, get them out of the freezer. You cannot do anything with them once they've been frozen, aside from make sauce or soup. Nothing else.
Yeah. But you made sauce.
No salad.
No, I make sauce. I've got some tomatoes. I had about 60 kilos of tomatoes.
That's a lot.
That was me. Just, I can't eat 60 kilos of tomato. Shelley went away last year. Do you not remember this story?
Yes.
5 days before she went away, she said to me, oh, there's a special on at Superstore. 20 kilos of tomatoes for $5. I'm like, all right. So we went and got them. She left. I've got 20 kilos of tomatoes. I ended up looking like a tomato. I was just eating tomatoes, like tomatoes on toast, tomato sandwich. I mean, there was, you know.
Well, tomatoes are supposed to be good for, you know, preventing leukemia or for preventing cancer. So you should be pretty cancer-free, Ian.
Not just tomatoes, I will say this. I did some research recently because we had some in the fridge. I had some friends over for dinner, did beets and carrots with maple syrup. Beautiful. Next day, Shelley's great at eating leftovers, so she had the carrots. I said, what about the beets? No, don't want the beets. So I said, did you know that beets do this, and they're full of antioxidants. They're
great at
preventing cancer and yada, yada, yada. 5 minutes later, she's eating all the beets.
Well, they contain something called betaine, which mm-hmm. is necessary for heart health. So It's a good thing to eat beets.
I like those little sunset porch tomatoes. They look like little melons.
Yeah, that's the new one too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sunset torch. So, and then just going back to the flowers, there's one, there's Terrania that they call deep blue, but to me it's deep purple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't grow Terrania that much. It's a little too, you know, namby-pamby for me. I like big, blousy, you know, fighting-type plants and flowers.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my garden looks a little bit wild because I think I like big plants too much sometimes for the size of my garden.
But you do have some dainty little bluebells and things like that in there.
Yeah, but I don't pay much attention to them. I like the great big leaf things, which are just amazing. And Shauna, you and I went on the garden tour this summer. And I just finished writing about this coming up in the Gardener, folks. Watch for it because mm-hmm. the next issue is very soon. And we did a garden in South Surrey where the guy liked big leafed plants. And I spent a lot of time researching the names of these things. So this one, and I can't remember the name of it, of course, but he had this one big leaf plant that also produces a little berry, a cluster of berries under the big leaf. And he
isn't it Gunnera?
No, it wasn't Gunnera. It's in my story. So people, you'll have to look through the magazine to figure this one out because I talk about it. But the thing is, He grew this thing, and he can't get them in Vancouver. He said only two garden centers carry them, and last year they had none. So he made $1,440 because he had a whole bunch of them self-sowed in his garden, and he potted them up in little quarter-inch pots and sold them to the greenhouses. What a clever thing to do.
Where was he in BC? I hope he hasn't been affected by what's going on out there.
No, right, South Surrey, he's fine. Yeah. Well, and of course, you know, that's the interesting story about what's happening in Hope right now with all of the floods. But, you know, this isn't the first time that's happened there. They built on a floodplain. They built in a lake. They drained the lake and wonderful soil underneath. But now you get a big rain and it's lower than the surrounding countryside. So they're being flooded. And it's a tragedy. Anyway, it was a very hot summer. Shauna, you and I were out in the heat in Vancouver and Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
What grew well because of the heat this summer for you?
I noticed that question on your list of questions you sent through. And my garden was pretty much the same as other years.
Really? What about you?
I don't think it was quite as hot here in Ontario.
Maybe it wasn't.
Not as it was in BC. BC was ridiculous.
Well, BC was off the charts.
It was ridiculous here too in Manitoba, but yeah, I noticed that
it's 35 and up, right?
Yeah. So plants like petunias don't like it that hot, which I think surprised people because they think it's a tropical plant and it should like it hot. But remember, Shauna, we were in Kuala Lumpur on a rooftop, and they had problems growing three plants: goldenrod, which of course grows wild here, apple trees, which of course everybody can grow an apple tree in Canada, and petunias, because it's too hot in Kuala Lumpur.
Mm-hmm.
Just a name drop.
Yeah, we don't tend to think of the things that you cannot grow because of our, or that you can grow because of our climate here.
Like tulips,
yep. Lilacs.
Tulips do not do well in really hot regions. But
are those the ones from Amsterdam or are they ones from Canada?
Well, they're all from Amsterdam, you know, originally they were hybridized there. So
they're all from Turkey originally.
From Turkey, yeah. But I think that's a temperate climate in Turkey, Shauna. You've been there.
Turkey's down in the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
So it's not tropical like people think about in some of the very hot places, such as the southern United States, where tulips are really a bit of a luxury there.
Yeah, you'd have to stratify them in the cold.
Yeah, exactly. So what liked the heat and really went crazy on you?
Ah, sorry, who's that to?
Canna. Here in Manitoba, the canna were outstanding last year. And the city planted it, and they're in their planters on the streets. And they were, you know, 6 feet tall and thick and luscious. And they kept blooming right through until it froze, until October, just about the end of October. So we were very fortunate with that. But, you know, I think new gardeners think that something fails one year and they think, well, I don't know how to garden. I've got a brown thumb. But plants have a mind of their own, don't they? I mean, some years you do really well with something, and the next year, for no particular reason, from what you can see, the plant doesn't do anything. Have you had that experience, you too?
Well, I have a beauty bush in the front, and it was doing just, it was just gorgeous for a couple of years.
Okay,
and
this explain summer, what a beauty bush is for most of Canadians.
Oh, I can't remember the Latin name for it.
Doesn't matter, but just say what it looks like. It's a shrubby plant.
It's a big shrub, and it has beautiful pink flowers on it.
Like orchid type flowers?
Hmm?
What are the flowers like? Orchid type? Orchid-like?
A little bit.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
They're a little bit orchid-like, a little bit of a bell.
Colquitia amabilis.
No. Deutzia?
That's a beauty bush.
That's not mine.
Right.
Colvitia. Yeah, okay, that's it.
Okay.
Sorry, I can't read Polish or whatever language that is that well.
And this year it just was really scraggly, and I've got to cut it way back this summer because it just did nothing.
So on the other hand, I have an ornamental plum, and Ian, you saw it. It went boom, and went from like being 4 feet wide to being 8 feet wide this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about cutting it back. I'm going to have to cut it back. How about you, Ian? What went crazy in your yard?
I'm just looking at it. I'm just looking at that beauty bush on mine. The flower looks a bit like a weigelia. The little bush. Oh, it'll come to me. What grew well here this year?
Yeah.
The lawn.
The lawn?
That's strange in a hot year.
You know
the lawn,
what?
My lawn was dark green.
Mine too.
So what's that? It's really dark green. I cut the grass on the highest blade possible. I left it long the entire year. I hardly watered it, and it was dark green. It was the end of the neighborhood.
That's really bizarre because it was a very dry year in Manitoba.
Yeah.
And you'd have thought the lawns would be going yellow, but they were brilliant.
Well, I did fertilize early on. I fertilized it a couple of times, aerated it, lightly raked it because I clean it, the back end of the year. And then when it started to grow, I just let it grow long, and it was fantastic. It was dark green all year, which was great because, you know me, I'm a bit of a twit when it comes to that.
But it is true that the lawns everywhere were very, very nice.
It is weigelia. The flower looks a bit like the weigelia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pink.
It's a lot bigger.
Yeah,
a lot bigger, but that's the sort of flower it looks to me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
sorry.
So we're coming close to the end. I think we're going to go for an hour and a half today just for folks to give you a bit of a warning. But what I would like to do before we go back, we come back, is take another song. And Ian, have you put one in your mind at this point?
A song? Morning Has Broken, Cat Stevens.
We'll be back right after this.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world. Sweet the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the red garden, sprung in completeness where his feet. bright as the morning, born of the one light Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world.
So we're back, and we've got Ian and Ian Light and Leet and Sean and Dobie, who are the integral part of Canada's Local Gardener, with us this morning. And we're talking about their garden experiences and what we all went through last year. And we've had our problems in the past with various things like pests. So we talked a little bit about the fact that there was some powdery mildew and some fungal issues with the petunias where it was very hot, which surprisingly people, it's when it's hot and dry that you have those fungal issues, not when it's damp and cool, which some people think it's hot and dry, you get fungus. But Shauna, what about insects? Did you have any insect problems? Ian mentioned his worms on his cabbages, but what else?
I didn't have any insect problems this year. I did have powdery mildew on my peonies, though.
I know, that's a heartbreaker.
Me too, at the end of the season when it was dry, and then suddenly we got a mountain of water, and then I started to notice the mildew, so I cut them all back.
Yeah, that's what I did. I've cut them all back. I've actually got, because I never cut anything back until the spring if it's really in the way. I got rid of all that detritus.
Yes, so I know.
It really does. The fungus actually grows when it's hot and dry, and that's what probably promoted that this year. But Ian, you've also had your challenges with the critters in your yard, rabbits, and last year, the year before, it was voles. So what did you have this year? Did you get rid of the voles?
What did I have this year? Yes, I had next door's cat. So I managed to fill all the holes where the voles were, seed it, grass it, and it was fine.
Okay. Stop. What did you fill the holes with?
I got some river stone from my drive, and I threw that down the holes. I threw some poison down the holes. I put some soil on top of it. Then I seeded it, and it all grew, and there was nothing.
It was probably the poison.
And then there was a sneaky rabbit and gray squirrel, because every now and then I'd see a hole under the fence. So if ever you walked into my backyard, and you'll see like little panels dotted around because I'm filling all these holes in. But that was really it. However, next door's cat was up the tree one time. There was four squirrels around. You can hear them. The gray squirrels make a weird noise, not like the little red. The gray squirrel's more of a... So I'm listening to all this noise, and then I see the cat up the tree and these four big gray squirrels. And you can see this cat kind of looking at each one and saying to himself, I wonder which one will be dinner. Anyway, that all goes away. The season's great. You know, there's the cabbage worm. I had some, what's that black butterfly?
Yeah, the swallowtails.
The swallowtail. I had some swallowtail little caterpillars dotted around. I did see quite a few monarchs early on in the year, but not in the latter part. However, it snowed. And now it's like a rabbit party. They're coming in from all directions. You can see the footprints everywhere. I said to Shelley, we're going to have to get some night cameras and start filming what's going on, because it literally looks like there's a party now that it's covered in snow. And you can see where they're coming in. They're coming in from all over the place. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I was that successful. However, you know, I don't care. It's snow.
Let me ask you, Ian, what's the problem with the squirrels? What do they do?
The red squirrel wanders around and he starts picking tomatoes and lining them up on the deck.
Mm-hmm.
He chases the gray squirrel. The gray squirrel, I'm not a big fan of gray squirrels.
I know you guys out there think.
Well, they seem very angry. The little red you can kind of tolerate. He looks at you. I built a little picnic bench and screwed it onto the wall, onto the fence. So he, you know, and I put food there every now and then, and I see him come along and sit down at the table and have his food.
Yeah, he's pretty cute when he does that.
But the gray squirrel is a vandal. The red squirrel, not so much. Maybe it's because of the weight. You know, if you put bird seed out and the gray squirrel comes along and I end up buying new bird feeders because he's broken them. Whereas the gray squirrel is so light, he just flops on them and eats and that's it. Not a big fan of the gray squirrels.
I just kind of think they're, you know, this is their home.
Well, it's the same with skunks.
I don't want to mess with them.
I don't need to because there's a big owl. I don't know what sort of owl it is. In fact, there's a couple of them, but there's a really big gray one. I don't know. Do you know anything about owls?
Mm-mm.
So there's a little barn owl. You see him, but he's only little, right? So he's good for voles and he's good for red squirrels. But there's a really big gray one that nests in a spruce across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years ago, Shelley and I witnessed a murder of crows attack the owl chick.
Mm-hmm.
And like when we say a murder of crows, we're talking at least 30 crows. It was like something out of the birds movie by Hitchcock, right?
Yeah.
So we're watching this and Shelley's like, can we shoot them? I'm like, no, we can't do anything to the birds. I hate crows. She's like, I hate crows. I'm like, well, they'll go away eventually. But then I noticed this year that the owl, is it a tawny owl? Is across my neighbor and he's in the tree over there. But we also have peregrine falcons here.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw coyote here. I saw raccoons here. I saw deer here. And all I'm missing is a bear and a bobcat and we'll be fine. I don't need to go anywhere. But well, actually, I'm not a fan of the gray squirrel. No disrespect to him. He's just a bit of a vandal.
We came home one day, Glenn and I, and we saw the gray squirrel eating a bird's head. And we decided we didn't like gray squirrels ever since.
There you go.
Your red squirrel will eat the same bird's head if it gets a chance.
Here's a quick story for you. So when Glenn was alive, I can remember I was lying out on my deck in my old place. I was lying out on the deck, taking a nap, and suddenly there was a flower in my face. And this gray squirrel was on the roof of my garage throwing flower heads at me. And I was like, you son of a... And he did this quite a lot. It annoyed me so much so that I went to see Glenn and said, can I borrow your BB gun? And he said, why? I said, because this squirrel is going to, you know, he's going to get it. He's annoyed me way too much. So I get home. For a week, I am looking for this gray squirrel. I'm like the guy that's chasing Bugs Bunny. So I'm like the hunter, you know? And then I see my neighbor one day. I'm like, oh, hey, how's it going? He's like, oh, great. I said, have you seen this gray squirrel? He's like, why? I said, because he was chucking flower heads at me. He goes, no, I haven't seen him. What I did see was Stanley, my dog, eating him. I'm like, oh, great. So I don't, you know, I'm like, that. Oh, thank you. I didn't need to do anything. I'm my savior.
Well, Sean, I worry about the raccoons.
Raccoons in Toronto, right?
Hmm?
Raccoons are the big problem in Toronto.
They're a huge problem. And if I got a BB gun to take care of them, they would go out and get shotguns to take care of us. you just got to... If you have a pond, it belongs to the raccoons now.
So I have a question for you, Shauna. I understand that the Toronto City Fathers came up with some kind of an unlatchable garbage bin that they're supposed to be raccoon-proof. Did it work?
It does for us.
There you go.
There are gnaw marks on the outside of it.
Really?
So they haven't figured it out yet.
There are teeth marks on the outside of it, but they have not managed to get into it.
I'm not very happy about them. They come to my yard and they use it as a midden. And the females will do that. They'll gather. They're supposed to be solitary. Well, they party in my place. And then everything dies where they do this, where they do their business. And then they break my, you know, bird bath and they knock down my bird feeders. And you don't get them in? Raccoons in your yard?
Well, I've seen them in the front yard with Shelley, like a family of three, but never in the backyard.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do about it? It's not like they're not native here, and they're really incredible animals if you watch them.
Well, they are. They're very smart, but really, don't be vandals, like Ian says about the gray squirrels. Stop vandalizing my house.
Just leave up a sign saying, don't be vandals.
But there were a lot of squirrels this year. I have a little video where there are three of them on my garage wall. And so all my, I put them on Facebook, and all my Facebook friends are saying, oh, well, you have to remove all the food from that vicinity and they'll go away. Well, the food is a great big cedar tree that was absolutely laden with seeds, and they weren't going anywhere because they had everything they possibly could want.
And also there's a hole underneath the door into your garage, so they can get in there anyway.
Well, yeah, but they were actually outside. They weren't under the, there's holes everywhere. So thank goodness they're only in the garage, not in my house.
You've got a religious house. It's holy, is it?
It's very holy. That's right. Well, listen, you guys, it's been a pleasure to have you on with me this morning. Before we leave, is there anything you wanted to pass on, the, you know, some wisdom for gardeners in the next next summer season?
Well, I can hear Shauna's wisdom. It's wonderful.
Big
I like it.
Silence. Big silence.
I'm thinking of cricket.
Cricket?
Mm, what about no cricket?
Radio silence. It's cricket.
Yeah,
there you go.
No, I don't have any. If you haven't tried it, try it.
Yeah, that's a good
example. Perseverance. That's good advice.
With gardening, it's about perseverance. And, you know, you can underwater plants, but you can overwater plants. If you underwater them, they go limp. If you overwater them, they die. So, yeah. You know, everything within reason. Same as indoor plants.
Yellow leaves. Actually, before we leave, we should just talk a little bit about watering indoor plants, because I think more people kill their indoor plants with overwatering than any other thing. And they see the leaves get a little limp and they get a little yellow and they think, oh, I can't be giving it enough water. And they give it some more. And that just basically suffocates the plant.
Yeah, drowns it. Don't know about suffocates it.
Yeah, well, drowns it because it can't get any oxygen in the wet
soil. Which is suffocating.
Exactly. Okay, before we finish, Shauna, tell us a little bit about the next issue of The Garden coming up. It's Beautiful Gardens.
It is. It's Beautiful Gardens, and there's a garden from every single province. Do you want me to tell you about the different gardens?
Yeah, a little bit.
What about the cedar
trees? I am excited. Well, the ones you've been doing, I know that in BC you've got Gary Hedberg's garden, and he grows bamboo.
50-foot
huge
bamboo.
Huge stands of it, and the big leaf plants. He's a fascinating guy. Another beautiful garden we've got is in Nova Scotia, New Brunswick. And this lady, she has chickens and turkeys and gardens and gardens and gardens and gardens. And it's overlooking this beautiful valley. And I can barely speak to how gorgeous it is. In Quebec City, in Gatineau, Quebec, there's this fellow who has the most pristine garden I've ever seen, but it's not pristine as in, you know, yuck. It's pristine as in just beautiful. He trims up the branches of his trees. I've got to start doing this, of his shrubs so that you can see the wood underneath. And he doesn't use mulch because he turns the soil once or twice a week, he says. He tills the soil, which, you know, you're not supposed to till soil anymore, but my gosh, this is beautiful.
If you till it, it puts air in.
Yes. And his soil is well aerated. He says he never steps on it, but if he does, his foot goes way, way down. And he's growing moss. He calls his garden Japanized. Because it's not Japanese, but it has a lot of the, a lot of the elements of it, visually at any rate. This is just an incredible year for beautiful gardens. I cannot even believe.
Well, we have a really, really pristine little garden in Edmonton, too, mm-hmm. which is really interesting because the people, we drove up and we thought, this looks so familiar. Well, it turns out it was the garden with a sister of a woman's garden that we did 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And it's beautiful, just a beautiful little gem of a garden. Then in Saskatchewan, I think Gary Hedberg's garden was one of my favorites, but the one in Saskatchewan comes close behind, and not because of its flowers, but because that woman who did this made everything
she
by
was incredible.
Herself. Okay?
She was incredible.
Yeah, she built a garden beach house. I call it a beach house. She called it a pool house because she had a pool, and she paid $2,000 for the shell, and she turned it into this glorious, beautiful summer house. that anybody would want to spend their whole summer in. Just beautiful. And she built.
And she has the grandkids in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then she built a wrought iron fence, and she made the stone pillars, the field stone mm-hmm. pillars herself. Just.
And I said, how did you know how to do that? And she said, well, I just looked on YouTube.
Yeah. She's very resourceful.
Incredible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she said she didn't have much growing up. She had to learn to make do. And so she did make do. She just found material stuff off Kijiji that she got for $2 or something and turned it into something beautiful.
You know what else we have in Newfoundland, where I did not get to go this summer, but what is his name?
Otten?
From our editorial board.
Is that Mr. Otten?
Nope. Newfoundland.
Ian, you're mute. Your sound is off, Ian. You're muted.
Oh, it's because the phone was ringing. Todd Boland?
Yes, Todd Boland. He has written about his own garden. And he's quite a plant collector. And in Ontario, David and I drove up to see this woman's garden, and she has a big country spread. They've got acres and acres, and about a full acre of it is gardened. And she just puts in what she likes, and she'll go and buy a bunch of stuff, and then her husband has to build her a new X for it or a new building for it or something. And they're so adorable. You can just see the love coming off of them.
You know, really, I mean, Canadian gardeners are so incredibly resourceful and so into it. I mean, I remember one time when we first started the gardener, Shauna, and I remember you interviewed Mark Cullen, and he's mm-hmm. and his comment about gardening was that in Manitoba we garden by the gallon, in Ontario garden by the teaspoonful. But I think he must have been talking about Toronto, because you know they have pretty big gardens in Ontario. Ian, mm-hmm. before we end up, I want to just one more note. We're back as far as the shows are concerned this year, the garden shows across the country. Where are they and who's going to be there?
We're in BC. We've never been there.
We're in BC.
Vancouver? BC Place, Vancouver, yeah.
Okay.
We're in Winnipeg, but maybe in another podcast we'll talk about a potential new trade show in Winnipeg next year, back end of April. We're going to Ottawa. Shauna's going to be at that one. So if you want to learn anything about gardening, go and have a natter with Shauna at the trade show.
Who's doing BC? Are you?
No, Gord is going to be doing
Gord's
that.
Gord's doing okay, those folks Gord in Gord Gage.
Then we're going to be in Halifax, which is going to be me.
That's going to be Shelley. You and Shelley.
Yeah. And the other one in PEI, right? What's in? Mm-hmm. I always get those a little bit muddled up. But we're going to be in PEI, Ideal Home Show. Again, that's going to be Shelley and I. And then there's the Winnipeg Home and Garden, which, you know, we're at every year. Well, haven't been to the last 2 years, but we're going to be there. And everybody will be at that one, aside from Shauna and Dorothy, because, you know, don't want to be doing too many shows. But, that's it. And we may do, I haven't spoken to them yet, if they're doing it or not, is the Friends of the Conservatory. They usually do the spring show in March, April at the CMU.
So nothing in Ontario?
Yeah,
there's the Ottawa show.
Ottawa show, okay.
There are a few other shows we can look at. Yeah.
We were looking at doing Montreal, but Quebec Vet's going to be there. And if we're going to be talking and representing, then we should really let them do their own.
Right.
Because you know what, Ian, we cannot do anything in Quebec because we are not publishing in French and they will not allow it.
Well, we could, actually. No, they said we could.
They've been changing the rules. Well, at any rate, we're going to see a lot of folks this year, so we hope you'll come out and say hello no matter where we are. And we'll try and keep you up to date. Watch our website and our Facebook page. And, you know, we post the information about just exactly what's happening. And by the way, folks, I encourage you to sign up for 10 Neat Things. That's our weekly newsletter. Last week it was 10 Neat Things about potatoes, and people were very excited about that. I really like that about potatoes.
And you better get in on it while you still can for free.
Yes, because we are planning to charge for it in the future. You know, the world is changing a little bit, and our reliance on advertising is getting tougher and tougher because, you know, there's so much opportunity on the internet. So we have to find new resources to be able to keep Your Garden magazine coming out. And so that means that some of the things that we offered for free in the past will have a small charge. Nothing too much.
But you'll get more.
You'll get more. That's right. Good work. So we're working on that. Stay tuned. We'll let you know all about it as we go along. And I think what I'm going to do, if there are no last words from you, Ian, anything more you want to say?
No.
Okay. That's the only one-word answer you gave me. That's very good. I want to end the show on my favorite song currently. It's not an old song. It's The Lemon Tree by Fool's Garden, because it's so happy and it makes you want to dance. And so listen to The Lemon Tree and think about us being back in a week from now. Take care. Bye-bye.
I'm sitting here in the boring room. It's just another rainy Sunday afternoon. I'm wasting my time, I got nothing to do. I'm hanging around, I'm waiting for you. But nothing ever happens, and I wonder. I'm driving around in my car. I'm driving too fast, I'm driving too far. I'd like to change my point of view. I feel so lonely, I'm waiting for you. But nothing ever happens, and I wonder. I wonder how, I wonder why. Yesterday you told me about the blue, blue sky. And all that I can see, just a yellow lemon tree. I'm turning my head up and down. I'm turning, 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 turning around. And all that I can see is just another lemon tree. I'm sitting here, I miss the power. I'd like to go out, taking a shower. But there's a heavy cloud inside my head. I feel so tired, put myself into bed. Well, nothing ever happens, and I wonder. Isolation is not good for me. Isolation, I don't want to sit on the lemon tree. I'm stepping around in the desert of joy. Maybe anyhow I'll get another toy. And everything will happen, and you wonder. I wonder how, I wonder why. Yesterday you told me about the blue, blue sky. And all that I can see, just another lemon tree. I'm turning my head up and down. I'm turning, 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 turning around. And all that I can see is just a yellow lemon tree. And I wonder, wonder, I wonder how, I wonder why. Yesterday you told me about the blue, blue sky.